We turn back again to Joshua chapter 24. And before the preaching of God's word, we'll bow for a short prayer to seek God's help as we preach the message today. Gracious, loving Father, we are dependent on thy grace. We look to God the Holy Ghost to come and breathe upon us. And Father, we ask of thee to let thy word live, and may it be a challenge to our hearts, and help us to go from this house today to serve thee as best we can. Heavenly Father, remember each one now, and as we listen and preach the word, may the Holy Spirit come upon us and do us good, for we ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. You will remember from last Sabbath day that this chapter 24 brings to us Joshua's final address. And in the first part of the chapter, down to verse 13, we were looking at Joshua tracing God's goodness over their history, and he gave a synopsis in those verses of God's past dealings with Israel over 500 years, and what a history it was, and what an interesting history as we realize what God had done for his people. God hasn't changed. We noticed how God chose Israel. He said, I took Abraham from the other side of the river. We noticed how he delivered Israel from the plagues of Egypt, from the bondage and the taskmasters of Egypt. For he delivered them and he rescued them, and delivering them from attack when the enemy confronted them, and how God empowered them to conquer Canaan and enrich them by giving them cities and lands and vineyards and olive groves. God is good. God not only saves, but he keeps. And God provides. And God is able to do even more for us than we can ever ask or think. When we come to verses 14 to 23 of the chapter, we see here Joshua is confronting God's standards. God has a standard, and Joshua is confronting the congregation of Israel and challenging them to live according to the standard of God's work, of God's word. You'll notice in verses 14 and 15 that Joshua said in those verses, Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the strange gods, the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is Joshua's stark proposition. It is choose. The word choose, there's a choice here. And of course, we're faced with that stark proposition today. Choose. We have a choice to make. whether we're saved or whether we're not saved, there's a choice to be made. And Joshua is challenging this very vast congregation gathered together with its leaders to choose today whom you are going to serve. Now, it would appear that the people were nominally serving the Lord. And is that not how things appear still today? But in reality, these people served other gods besides the God of Israel. And is that not a reality today as well? That many of God's people, as well as serving the Lord, they also serve other gods. And that's a great tragedy amongst God's people. These people were exhorted to serve God in sincerity. They were to serve God in sincerity and in truth. Now, the word that we get sincerity from is an interesting word. And it's an interesting word here when you probe into it. It means without hypocrisy. Furthermore, it means without mixture. So it's without mixture and without hypocrisy. That's what the word sincerity means. Without mixture and without hypocrisy. And Joshua is asking the people, its leaders and everyone, to serve the Lord in sincerity, without hypocrisy and without mixture. They were not to mix their worship and their service for God with the world. They were not to mix it with other gods. They were to serve God alone. And in this day of ecumenical apostasy, day of deep compromise all around us, everywhere in the political world, in the religious world, in society, and generally all around us, is there not a lot of hypocrisy today? Is there not an awful lot of mixture? Even in churches, they mix the worship of God with the worship of an ecumenical God and with the worship of other gods. We cannot serve God and mammon. Let us be sincere. Let the Free Presbyterian Church always be sincere, without mixture and hypocrisy, in its stand for Jesus Christ, in its worship of the Lord our Savior, and in our service for Him in these days and in the days that are still to come. So they were to worship the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Now, the word truth, the word from which we get this word truth, also means honesty and integrity. So we have truth, honesty and integrity all combined together. And Joshua again is commanding and exhorting the people to serve the Lord in sincerity, without mixture, without hypocrisy, and in truth, in honesty and integrity. There was to be separation from all false gods. There was to be separation from the world and worldliness. The choice was to be immediate. Not tomorrow or next week or the day or the week after. It was to be immediate choose ye this day, verse 15, whom ye will serve. Today must be the choice. Today you must choose. And therefore, in the house of the Lord, as we gather here, a stark choice is before us, and it's immediate. And we are to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Let's have done with a mixture in our Christian life. Let's have done with hypocrisy. Let's have honesty and integrity and truth. For God is a God of truth. He's a God of holiness. And little wonder, further down the chapter, Joshua challenged the people and said, "You cannot serve the Lord because he is a holy God." And since Israel were nominally serving the Lord, serving God plus other gods, he is telling them they can't serve the Lord. And I tell you, as the Lord's servant today, even though you profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot serve God if you're serving other gods. If you're serving the gods of mammon, the gods of the flesh, the gods of the world, the gods of ecumenical compromise, my friend, you cannot serve God. God is a holy God. He will not countenance any opposition to himself. God will cast down every enemy and bring it down to the pit. He'll brook no rival. And therefore today, we need to face what Joshua was facing and challenge our people that we serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. This confrontation that Joshua had with the congregation that day must have been a mighty shock to them. Must have been a shock. Suddenly, it was in their very face, hearing it in their very ears. When people are confronted with God's terms of trusting him and of serving him, they sometimes blame the preacher for being so personal, when they should rather seek the Lord and get themselves ready and prepared before him. The summons of Joshua, the speaker here, speaks as loudly today as it did in the days of Joshua. The gods of the nations here are first the gods of those beyond the river. You notice that's what it says in verse 14. That they trusted the gods which are on the other side of the flood or the river. That is the gods of the Chaldeans. And then you'll notice that it secondly speaks of the gods of Egypt. Here was Israel, now in the land of Canaan, God's chosen people, God's delivered people, brought out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. And still there is a harking in their hearts after the gods of the Chaldeans and the gods of Egypt. Furthermore, thirdly, he speaks of the gods of the Amorites. It's hard to take it in, isn't it? Joshua has to say this. He has to tell the people who have told him, "We'll serve the Lord." Joshua, don't be silly. We're going to serve the Lord. And yet Joshua has to tell them starkly that there's still a hankering after the gods of Egypt and the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Hard to take that in. And yet, when we think about it today, Christianity is so shallow in so many places and in so many hearts that people think they're serving the Lord while not realizing at the same time they're serving their former gods, the lusts of the flesh, the gods of worldliness, the seeking after those things which are temporal. And God is not everything to them. That's a challenge. It's a stark reality. It's a stark reality. Some of these gods were dreadful gods. These were gods which demanded the sacrifice of the worshipper's children. Can you believe it? That here's Israel entertaining the worship of gods that demand the sacrifice of their children. They pass through the fire and they're offered upon the altar in order to appease these false gods. It's very difficult to take that in, but that's what was happening. And in this ecumenical world, there are many sacrificing their children and their posterity to the false gods of ecumenism. My friend, we need to be completely separated unto the Lord and completely yielded to Him and serve Him only in these days. Some of these gods demanded what was known at the time as cultic prostitution. They were dreadful and immoral gods. And yet, in an ecumenical climate and in a worldly climate, when God's people are eased away from a separated stand for God, it's very easy to be influenced even by such immoral and dreadful systems of worship. And we see that today in the religions of the world. It's still happening in many areas. The clear demand was here to serve the Lord. If they served the Lord, they would have to get rid of their other gods which they had been worshipping. They were to choose to serve the Lord decisively. They were to choose to serve the Lord willingly. And if that was unacceptable, then their choice was not between the Lord and other gods. It was between different sets of gods. They were called upon to choose to serve either the Lord of heaven or the gods of Babylon. Either the God of heaven or the gods of the Egyptians. Either the God of heaven or the gods of the Amorites. They cannot serve both. They cannot serve them all at one and the same time. Joshua challenges them very, very straight. He says, if you're not going to serve the Lord, then serve the Babylonian gods. Then serve the Egyptian gods. Then serve the gods of the Amorites. You can't do it both. This was exclusive worship. And worship is still exclusive. Jesus said in John chapter 14, no man can come to the Father but by me. Simple words. Easy words to write down. Yet profound. Very deeply significant. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an exclusive religion. You cannot serve God and other gods, because there's no way to the Lord of heaven but by Jesus Christ. And therefore, all other ways are false, and they have to be totally rejected This was radical stuff by Joshua. Just wasn't some cozy chat he was having with them. Joshua was forbidding them from worshipping false gods. And if they weren't prepared to give them up, then he was forbidding them to worship the Lord. It was as straight as that. Imagine forbidding the people he led into Canaan to worship the Lord if they were not prepared to give up all their other gods. They wondered, I'm sure, what he was saying to them. You notice Joshua's clear declaration in verse 15. Notice what he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Imagine speaking to God's people like that. We say today, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This was a challenge to the people of God. This wasn't a challenge to heathen nations. It wasn't a challenge to ungodly people. It was a challenge to those who professed to know and to follow and to love the Lord. What a challenge it really is. Notice this was a public declaration. A public declaration of Joshua's faith. All could know that Joshua served the Lord, as for me. Making a public declaration before the entire congregation of Israel, numbering not just thousands, but perhaps 2 million people, telling them publicly that he was serving the Lord. We need to tell the Lord first today, and then make it known to everyone else that you're serving the Lord. Make it a public declaration that you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. No one would misunderstand where Joshua stood. Do I misunderstand where you stand today? Do you misunderstand where I stand today? Do we misunderstand each other? No one in this vast congregation misunderstood where Joshua was standing. He was standing for the Lord. Joshua said, I have chosen. I am not serving other gods. No, I'm serving the Lord. As for me. Will you make that declaration in your heart today? Will you be sincere about it? Will you be doing it in truth? Let there be no mixture or hypocrisy. Let it be real. It was also a personal declaration. Not only a public one, but a personal one. Here, Joshua was nailing his colors to the mast. Long ago, Joshua had chosen to serve the Lord, even down in the land of Egypt. He had renewed that vow to serve the Lord through the wilderness wanderings, when he took on the Amalekites and fought them in the valley and defeated them. He was serving the Lord. And Joshua had chosen to serve the Lord, and now he was going to continue to serve the Lord. He was on the Lord's side, completely and forever. He had made up his mind. He was on the Lord's side. It was not only a once and a while decision. This was a once for all decision on the part of Joshua. He had made up his mind. Joshua had chosen personally and publicly to serve the Lord. What's your choice today? It was a proven declaration. Joshua was no hypocrite. Joshua was sincere. There was no mixture in his words, in his heart, in his life, in his manner. Joshua was straight up and down for the Lord. There was no mixture. There was an integrity with this leader. Would to God there was integrity with our leaders today. And none could dispute the honesty of his heart. What integrity, what honesty, what transparency was in the life of this leader of Israel. Everyone knew of Joshua's transparency and of his truthfulness. The weight of an honest and pure life drives these words home to the hearts of his hearers. That's what we need today. A driving home of the Word of God to our own hearts, that we might obey the Lord. You'll notice it was a paternal declaration. How wonderful that Joshua could say, "As for me and my house." It was a paternal declaration. His family were united behind him. They were standing with him. They all have chosen to follow the Lord. There was honesty and sincerity. There was truthfulness in Joshua's heart and in the hearts of his family. What a paternal declaration this was. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You'll notice it was a passionate declaration. Joshua had brought the whole nation together here. Its leaders, its heads, its judges. All the people were there. The leadership of the land and the people of the land. They were all there. And Joshua brought them together. All who heard his clear declaration would never forget it. Never forget it. It was passionately made. It was passionately believed. It was passionately carried through in his life. Joshua meant it. They would relate to their yet unborn children and to children's children this incident when Joshua gathered the nation together and declared publicly and passionately and personally his declaration of faith in God and his determination to serve God only. It would be remembered by this congregation, by their children and their children's children. What a passionate declaration. Oh, today we read the histories of God's people. Those who have made their mark for the Lord. Those who have made their stamp on the history of the world. And again it is rehearsed. And it's told and passed on to generations arising. Oh, I wonder, will your children thank God for you? And your children's children thank God as they look back for this generation of men and women who stood up for Christ, who stood against the world, against its compromises, against all the religious and political pressures of the age, and said, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Have we got that? You'll notice it was a purposeful declaration. He had stood alone with Caleb many years before. He had stood alone with Caleb and had borne the wrath of his brethren. They threatened to rebel against Joshua and Caleb. When they came back from spying out the land in the book of Numbers, and when Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "Let us go in and conquer the land and take it, we are well able," his brethren were about to rise up in mutiny against them, and they would have slain them. Now, again, it would seem that Joshua stands alone with Caleb and declares before this massive congregation that whatever they will do, no matter what they might do, he was not going to serve idols. He was going to serve the Lord. His stand would be surely to bring as many of them as possible with him into the same position to take the same stand along with Joshua and his family. That decision must be made again. Must be made in this age of easy compromise and departure from the truth of God and the stand of his word. We must be challenged afresh, and we must make this decision again. We must ratify it in the presence of God. We must seal it in the presence of God today by not only being challenged, but saying with Joshua of old, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Young people, you're here today. God has been challenging you to serve him in a full-time capacity. Maybe that you have not fulfilled that promise nor yielded to that challenge. Many of God's people present today, and perhaps many is a time you can look back to a period and to a place, and God challenged you in a meeting and you said, "Yes, I'll be a better Christian from now on," but it never happened. "Yes, I'll give up those things which I know are a hindrance in my life. Yes, I'll serve the Lord in sincerity," but alas, it has never been the case. What about it today? What about it this morning? Will you say with Joshua, "As for me, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."